From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of September 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Dan O'Brien from K-State will join us to take a look at the agricultural energy sector. I'll update you on the agricultural news for the afternoon. And Don Day will be here, too, to take a look at the weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Listen to us on air or online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
All right, so we need to talk about several things at this point. I suppose let's start with the soybeans, because I think that's where the most harvest pressure is coming in. It's certainly where we've seen the most pressure in the market over the last 2 days.
Yeah, the beans have been giving back some of their recent gains. You know, there's talk of a little better than expected yields on especially the early beans. We are hearing a little bit of a setback on some of the later planted beans, or the ones planted just before some of the heavy rains. But all in all, the bean yields have been as expected and looking, or better than expected and looking good. We've also seen a little bit of farmers selling. I think they were going to sell their beans and hold their corn if they can that way. We saw a little better chances of rain for Brazil today in the forecast as we look at that. So, you know, all of that sort of thrown together, along with the unwinding of the long bean, short corn, long bean, short wheat, that's where we were seeing a little strength kick back into the wheat and corn here for a while this morning when it was just some fun done spreading.
What are your expectations for the trade for the rest of the week prior to the time we get to the grain stocks numbers on Friday?
Well, I think we've got 960 support basically in these beans and 980 resistance, and I look for them to pretty much stay in that trading range as such going into that report. We've seen the funds basically, they were long the beans and short quite a bit of corn, and basically by unwinding their spreads, why they've narrowed their positions on down, and I think that's what we're going to look at a lot. So I think it's going to be sort of a choppy into a Friday in that report, but probably in that 960, 980 range.
In your opinion, any reason to believe that the grain stocks numbers will change ending stocks for corn or soybeans very much?
You know, not really a lot here. I think, you know, they're maybe expecting, you know, a few million here or there, but I don't think anything great big is what we're looking at that way. So, you know, the average estimate for the soybean production that they were looking at last year is a 4.305, and last time the USDA was a 4.307. So, you know, the one thing that we could see is a little bit of extra usage for all of the cattle on feed and the large hogs number that we're expecting. So we could see, hopefully we'll see that feed number not shrink, but maybe increase a little bit as far as that goes.
You talked about soybean yields. What are you hearing on the corn side of the ledger?
Very little, I'll tell you. There is not much corn being harvested. Everybody is out in the beans. This hot weather, they were going down, and you know, once beans get 10 and below, they start losing. You lose bushels just because you're giving up the water that you could sell. So everybody in our area, everybody that I'm talking to mainly, is doing their beans. So very little in the corn, but corn is not doing bad on what we've heard early, but it is not the exceptional yields like we've heard in the soybeans. So I'd say the corn's just a little bit, you know, not bad numbers, but not quite as good as some had hoped for.
Any other items domestically or globally that we should take up before I let you go?
Yeah, I think that Syngenta agreed to pay $1.5 billion to sort of settle out and get done with these claims on their corn that they brought to market early. I think that's a big deal hanging out there. And the EPA put out messages for hearings about changing some of the requirements for in the future on the ethanol and the other cellulosic blends like that. So I think that's very big, and how that turns out could have a lot to do with how the ethanol market reacts and, of course, how it affects the corn market.
Always very good to talk with you. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, new details are filtering out on the GOP's evolving tax plan. Some reports say equipment expensing and how producers file their taxes could see changes. Washington Post sources say the White House and GOP leaders want to cut the rate paid by thousands of businesses that pay taxes through the individual income tax code to 25% from nearly 40%. American Farm Bureau tax advisor Pat Wolf has urged that any plan to cut the corporate tax rate include farmers and ranchers.
The majority of farmers pay taxes as sole proprietors. They pay under the individual code, not the business code. So it's important to clarify whether or not that really will apply to all sizes of business or just businesses by their organization type.
Republicans, meantime, may be planning to allow full expensing of capital expenses immediately instead of over several years. But the Post reports its GOP sources say the provision would sunset in 5 years due to its cost. At NCGA, the National Corn Growers Association, Public Policy Senior Chief Sam Willett says it's not just equipment expensing, but a host of tax issues producers are following.
Among some of the priorities for our corn growers included cash method of accounting, the three-year income averaging, the farm business income. We've also, our growers are very interested in capital gains tax rates. And you know, you put aside those year-to-year provisions that it can have a real impact on net farm income.
Producers also continue their decades-old battle to repeal the estate tax, though the White House and GOP may reportedly want to drop that idea to pick up some votes from Democrats opposed to repeal. A bigger question remains how to pay for tax reform, which could add more than $1 trillion to the budget deficit over the next decade. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., but we'll switch to trade now. The United States now has a tentative timeline to complete the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, negotiations. The Trump administration notified Congress Friday evening of expected changes. Notification is required at least 180 days before a trade agreement is signed under the Trade Promotion Authority law. That timeline puts March 22nd as the first day a new NAFTA could be signed. However, to have the deal ready to sign, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer would have to reach a deal in December and publish the text in January. And one other note on trade, South Korea will hold a second round of trade talks with the United States next month. The meeting comes as the Trump administration wants to either renegotiate a free trade agreement between the two or withdraw from the agreement. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows, as of Sunday, that 93% of the corn crop had dented. The rolling five-year average is 95%. 51% of the crop was mature. The five-year average is 64%. 11% of the corn crop around the nation has been harvested. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 17%. It's said to be in 47% good and 14% excellent condition. That compares to 48% and 13% last week. The soybeans are now 63% dropping leaves, the same as the five-year average. The harvest is 10% complete. The rolling five-year average is 12%. And the condition of the crop is 49% good, 11% excellent. That's up 1 percentage point from the previous week, which was 48% good and 11% excellent. Now, here are updates from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region, with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. Activities for the week included starting to harvest corn for grain and soybeans, planting cover crops, spreading manure, hauling grain, and finishing up chopping corn silage, harvesting seed corn, and cutting hay. 94% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage or beyond, 1 week behind last year and 3 days behind the five-year average. 52% of corn had reached maturity, 5 days behind average. Corn condition remained the same as last week at 59% good to excellent. 91% of soybeans were turning color or beyond, equal to last year and 3 days ahead of average. 60% of soybeans were dropping leaves, 2 days behind last year but 1 day ahead of average. 5% of the soybean crop has been harvested, 2 days behind average. soybean condition improved slightly to 60% good to excellent. There were multiple reports of a fourth cutting of alfalfa hay being cut, and scattered reports of possibly being a fifth cutting in parts of Iowa. Pasture conditions declined to 48% poor to very poor. Livestock conditions were normal, although there were reports of water for cattle being an issue in parts of the state due to dry conditions. I am Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Corn and soybean harvest advanced during very hot and mostly dry weather last week across Illinois. Temperatures averaged 14 degrees above normal, and rainfall was below average in most locations. Overall, the state averaged nearly 6/10 of an inch of rain, which was 2/10 below normal. Corn harvest reached 11% complete by Sunday last week. That compares to 22% 1 year ago and 24% for the 5-year average. 57% of corn acres are mature compared to 77% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was nearly unchanged at 14% very poor to poor, 34% fair, and 52% in good to excellent condition. Soybean harvest advanced to 9% complete, compared to 5% last year and 7% normally. Soybeans were dropping leaves on 57% of acres compared to 58% normally. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 15% very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 56% in good to excellent condition. In other crops, 15% of sorghum acres are harvested, compared to 12% normally. 73% of sorghum acres were mature, compared to 63% normally. Pasture conditions were rated 45% very poor to poor, 35% fair, and 20% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding all farmers and ranchers that the Census of Agriculture is coming this December.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Northwest Minnesota received substantial rainfall while other parts of the state remained dry enough to begin soybean harvest during the week. Harvest continued for corn for silage, dry beans, potatoes, sugar beets, and alfalfa hay. 93% of the corn for grain crop reached the dent stage. That's 6 days behind the 5-year average. 33% had reached maturity. That's 9 days behind average. There were scattered reports of corn for grain being harvested in southwest Minnesota. Corn harvested for silage was 60% complete, that's 1 week behind average. Corn condition was unchanged at 81% good to excellent. 93% of the soybean crop was turning color, with 64% dropping leaves. Soybeans were 7% harvested. Soybean condition declined slightly to 71% good to excellent. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was 89% complete, and the pasture condition declined to 53% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. A hot and mostly dry week left west central Indiana in moderate drought conditions going into harvest season. The late planted and replanted corn and soybean fields were reported to be fairly green still and will be much later to harvest. In the drought area, some double-crop soybeans as well as mint fields were irrigated against the heat. Weed pressures were reported to be very high in many fields, particularly in the south. Corn was 54% matured compared to 71% last year and 65% 5-year average. Corn was 10% harvested compared to 14% last year and 14% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 56% in the north, 50% in central, and 59% in the south. Soybeans were 64% dropping leaves compared to 65% last year and 70% 5-year average. Soybeans were 10% harvested compared to 8% last year and 9% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 58% in the north, 48% in central, and 54% in the south. Winter wheat was 4% planted compared to 6% last year and 5% 5-year average. Other activities for the week included preparing and repairing harvest equipment, hauling grain, planting cover crops, and mowing roadsides. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We are joined at this point by Dan O'Brien, who's with Kansas State University. Thanks, Dan, for being with us, agricultural economist. We appreciate it.
Good to be here, Todd. Appreciate it.
Well, let's discuss some of the things that you've been working on out there as it relates to agricultural energies. And I know that you've done some capacity and corn usage studies on Kansas and Illinois ethanol plants. What'd you find?
Well, it's interesting. Of course, we've spent so much time, you and I, talking about one state or the other and how they compare. For Illinois, the plant capacity that we found, based off of Renewable Fuels Association data, about 2.4, 2.3 billion bushels of ethanol production per year. Corn usage, again, with the proper factors, et cetera, about 843 million bushels. And really, with 843 million bushels, it would be about a little over 15% of what the USDA is projecting for this 17-18 marketing year, about 5.5 billion. So no small amount. And of course, for Kansas, we're smaller in terms of that proportion. We have about 329 million bushels worth of ethanol production, 921 billion gallons, and about 6% of the overall capacity. So it is striking where, to me, in looking at the Illinois map, is that again to the north, you've got quite a few plants, but then again, just over the border, off into your bordering states to the towards Indiana, Kentucky, those areas, quite a bit of production there as well. So really pretty impressive in terms of where these different states work out at. For Kansas, our capacity is basically shotgunned all over the state, wherever we grow corn, but none of them are really bunched together. There's a little more local competitiveness probably in your markets than what we would have in terms of what ethanol plants would be buying for corn.
What does the profitability of these plants look like?
Well, latest numbers we calculated for corn and based off Iowa representative plant models, good. We're at about 8 cents last month in August so far in September. You know, September's about done, about 11 cents per gallon of production. So, you know, that's profitable. And in the bigger picture, that's good for the corn markets. Anything that can help us move through stockpiles of corn, and looks like from carryover from last year, what we have this year coming in new, we have lots of corn. So, to the degree the ethanol plants can have profitability and maintain strong pace, that'll all be good. I would say we've also calculated biodiesel numbers, and even they are looking decent in terms of profitability as well. Again, net of about 5 cents a gallon over the last, through September. And again, that's continues this streak of about 6 months in a row where they've made at least some marginal amount of profit. So again, that helps on the soybean side as well for the same set of reasons as for corn.
And expectations that both will stay good through the fourth quarter?
To our knowledge, if anything, we're probably not seeing, we're not expecting the input prices for those plants to go higher. That's the downside for producers. If large crop harvests come on, probably be lower prices at harvest, and that'll be a great time probably for ethanol plants to secure supplies, at least that are available, that farmers are willing to sell of both corn and for soybeans, and it should help the profitability of those plants.
And I've got about 15 seconds. How's the corn crop in Kansas?
We're doing very well. We've gotten some late season moisture abnormal for us in Kansas, and really most of the supplies and fields are looking decent. So we'll see how it all works out again.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Dan O'Brien. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Just a quick reminder, I'll be traveling tomorrow, but we'll have a program, of course. It will come to you from Geneseo, Illinois, where they'll be installing at 11 a.m., and you can probably still drop by if you check in with the Farm Bureau up in that county, a brand-new bioreactor. This is one of those end-of-the-tile-line structures. Installation will happen again at 11 a.m. If you're interested, you certainly can drop by, check out our website at willag.org and look into the calendar, and you'll find the event details. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's start in the western side of the Corn Belt and work our way eastward. What kind of harvest conditions will farmers have to work with over the next week or so?
Well, certainly conditions for harvest operations in the short term, that would take us through the rest of this week and into the weekend, over most of those areas that is mentioned look pretty good. Now, we will see an intrusion of some shower and thunderstorm activity as we get into the western Corn Belt, as we get into late Sunday and into Monday of next week. A pretty good line of showers and thunderstorms will move through, especially across portions of Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, eastern Nebraska, Missouri, and then into Illinois. And this will be through by Tuesday morning. Then we're going to see another period of drier weather develop towards the middle to the end of next week. I guess the areas that are going to be most affected by any potential harvest delays would be those far western Corn Belt states. They're going to have a bit more to deal with in terms of precipitation, unsettled weather. But right now, the pattern is favoring a fairly warm and fairly relatively dry stretch of weather for a lot of the Corn Belt here over the next week to 10 days. So harvest conditions aren't looking bad at all.
And if you look further out into the month of October, what do you see?
I think we're going to see some of the trends we're seeing now continue into early October, which means the coldest, wettest, most unsettled weather could be located over the western states, from the western high plains through the Rockies and into the Pacific Northwest. There looks to be a bit of an extension of late summer, early fall type weather, at least into the first 10 days of October for the Midwest. I think those areas are likely going to have a fairly good stretch of weather. We do see an increase in precipitation in the southeast United States, but a lot of that will stay away from some of the key Corn Belt areas.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me.
Thanks, Todd.
You bet. Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You can always hear him again. Where? On our website, of course, at WILLAG.org, or if you prefer, you can listen to him in the Closing Market Report as a podcast using iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, or NPR One app. In fact, the NPR One app is one of my favorite ways to do it. Check it out online at onenpr.org. That's a great way to listen to the programming content that comes to you from WILL. You can also find programming in iTunes again and on the Google Play Store. Just search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. Again, tomorrow I will be traveling, so we'll record our program and send it back to you from Geneseo, where we'll be working with the Illinois Farm Bureau and University of Illinois Extension to record and capture the installation of a biofilter and reactor.